Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is James Chang with Zimmer Biomet. I've been honored to be asked to moderate this amazing panel. So without further ado, I would love to kind of start us off. I'm going to introduce, each one of my panelists to introduce themselves. I'm going to start off with Tracy with Oracle, if you don't mind.
Sure. Hello, everyone. I'm Tracy Wade, and I'm the head of diversity and inclusion for Oracle. Been with the company for over 16 years and part of the diversity organization when it launched a little over 12 years ago. And happy to be a part of this panel and be able to participate with these other great leaders.
Thank you, Tracy. Next I see on my screen is Ricky with Google.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ricky. I am the Global DEI Program Manager for Search and Assistant. I execute against the strategy for our DEI efforts. Super excited to be here and share this space with everyone.
Thank you, Ricky. Next on my screen, I see LaQuinta with XPO Logistics.
Hello, everyone. I am LaQuinta Jacobs, the Chief Diversity Officer with XPO Logistics. And I am directly responsible for our domestic and global DE&I efforts. Been with the organization for 3 years and have been practicing and doing DE&I for the 25-year career that I've had in HR. So super excited to be in this space with a talented group of panelists. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, LaQuinta. Next, I see Denise with Microsoft.
Hi, everyone. Denise Reed-Lamoureux, the Worldwide Learning Director for Accessible Accommodations at Microsoft. And I'm also excited to be here amongst this panel of experts and learn from each other.
And then last but not least, I see Mara with Concrans.
Hi, everyone. Nice to be here with you. My name is Mara Zavagno. I'm the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for Konecranes and Vice President of Talent Engagement and Reward. I'm working since 3 years almost in diversity inclusion and 16 years in the same company for HR. And happy to be here with you and share a lot of experience all together.
Wonderful. Thank you, panel. And again, to the audience, apologize for the technical difficulties today, but we're still going to dive in and have a great conversation about our subject matter today. We're going to be talking about how the next frontier of diversity, equity, inclusion beyond HR and talent. So I'm going to dive right in. When we think about the next frontier, often when I think about it, it's actually lies within our past. So something I like to ask each of our panelists, and maybe we can go into the conversation, is what would you tell your former self, your younger self, about when entering into DEI? I'm going to start it off with Tracy, if you don't mind, on that one. Oh, Tracy, you're on mute.
Hello. What would I tell my younger self? To learn to unmute yourself, that would be one. Appropriately. What would I tell my younger self? You know, I think that when I first started out in this career, I wasn't always as courageous as I am now and pushing the envelope and having those difficult conversations. I would encourage myself to step out into my comfort zone, or stepping beyond my comfort zone, to have those courageous conversations, to be able to share more, push the envelope more, to encourage more broader thinking in D&I. 12 and a half years ago, I was very new. I wasn't, well, Quinta, you've been in it 25 years, so amazing. But I was very new in this space, certainly supported it, did some work in recruiting that helped amplify and bring in talent. But I wasn't always that courageous person, didn't really know how to do it. So I would step out of my own way and step into my fear a bit more and have those more courageous conversations that I'm very comfortable with having today.
That makes complete sense. And you mentioned, LaQuinta, with your experience that you had in the journey of DEI, what would you tell your former self?
So there's a couple of things that I would tell my former self. And the first I would start off with is the recognition that this work requires commitment. You can't get into this field and not be committed to the work. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have challenging days. You're going to have days where you feel like, am I really moving the needle forward? Is this work really impactful and making an effort? And that all comes from the organization that you work with, the colleagues you work with, and the support that you have in the space. So I would tell myself, don't limit myself to one theory or one concept. Definitely don't be married to the process, but be married to the outcome. And then that would lead me to the third thing that I would say is cultivate relationships, build a tribe so that you can understand where and how this work is making an impact in different spaces, and then lean on that tribe for support when you need it. And then as Tracy mentioned, never stop learning and investing in this space. Be tenacious, get it over the finish line, and there's always a way to skin the cat, right? It may not happen the first way you started out, you know, or the plan that you had in place at first, but there is always a way to get the work done and to align it to the business strategy. And so Tracy, just a correction, I've been in HR diversity 25 years, but not fully in DE&I 25 years.
Got it. Because I was getting jealous over here.
And it's so true. It's that flexibility. It's being open-minded and pushing the envelope is definitely the key on that. And again, you mentioned that we're in a continuous learning environment. That leads me straight to Denise, who now is at Microsoft leading that effort, both from DEI and learning. Denise, share a little bit of your thoughts to your former self.
So my former self, I would tell that individual that, as Tracy mentioned, be bolder. As LaQuinta mentioned, you know, really dig in and understand that you're never going to be finished with this journey. But first and foremost, you know, you have to have your mindset focused on, you know, changing the concepts that are in place and really challenging and reaching beyond. But you also have to have the heart for this work. And that means that you have to understand different perspectives. You have to open your own way of thinking to a different way of thinking and accept that and embrace it and enjoy it. And too often we find ourselves thinking and acting and working in the way that we feel the most comfortable with, without ever taking others into consideration. And that's really at the core of this work, is having those different perspectives, widening your circle of trust, and really thinking about culture add, not just culture fit, but culture add.
That is amazing that you went into that. And with that, I kind of want to talk and kind of lead into with the culture add piece. Google has somewhat coined that phrase, what is your culture add versus culture fit? So Ricky, would you kind of share a little bit with us about what you would share to your former self?
Yes, I think there's a couple of things I would tell my younger self, especially entering the DEI space, is number one, put on your own oxygen mask before you put on anyone else's. I think doing this work, a lot of times we give over 100% of ourselves continuously, and we sometimes forget to take self-care, which is why I wrote a book literally on mindfulness and well-being, because I got into this work and I started losing myself. I started pouring into other people so much. And so if I could tell my younger self, hey, if you're going to enter that space, make sure you're taking care of yourself along the way. And then the other thing I think I would tell myself is that you are going to have some uncomfortable conversations, as a lot of my panelists have said today. But stand in your truth, stand in your space, be strong, and realize that you belong there. You belong to have a seat at the table, and you deserve to be in rooms where your name has not even been spoken yet. So I would definitely encourage that to my younger self.
Thank you, Ricky. And with that, Mara, when we think about from a global perspective, and quite a few of you are working in global organizations, sitting outside of the US, how does that perspective change when it comes to telling your earlier self about entering DEI?
Well, thank you for the question. Thinking about what will be the advice that I will give to myself now after these couple of years of experience, I will say, first of all, be patient. Because being able to move something from cultural point of view, it requires to look beyond the obvious. And sometimes also to explore different dimensions to get the results that you would like to have. The other thing, you should always remember to be a leader in this environment. And being a leader means to take all the best possible characteristics from a leader, like empathy, like driving for results, like any other business topic. And that, I think, is one of the ways to be successful in diversity inclusion, like any other business topic.
Absolutely. And for me, one of the things I would always tell my old self is don't take off your business hat when doing DEI work, right? So much of the work of DEI has become such a thing that becomes siloed, which doesn't make DEI successful. It requires the full business. And when we think about business, that's something that we don't want to talk separately from DEI. So I'm curious, I'm going to pose this to the panel. I would love to dive in. When we think about how do we make DEI truly about the business, weaving into the foundation, when we think about long-term strategies and plans, sustainability, KPIs, and senior leadership, how do we make sure that as a whole is our goal, not just one silo? I open it up to the panel.
You know, I would say from my perspective, the best way to do that is make it part of the business model and a business imperative. It's no longer just the right thing to do. How do you make it sustainable and a part of the business is when it's part of the imperative, understanding how that fits in. We want to look like the customers we're selling to and our partners. We want to certainly show up as a with our customers in a diverse way. So where's the business imperative? Our customers are thinking about this. They're talking about this in the communities where we're doing business. It must be a business narrative for it to sustain, grow, and live in the culture. If we continue to only make it the right thing to do, of which it is, it can lose some of the power behind the objective and the work. And so in my mindset is when you make it part of that business structure, you build it in with our executives, that's the first thing you lead with, what's the imperatives and how it aligns to the business. That is where we've seen the most engagement and thought leadership in the growth of our executives. So that would be my recommendation.
Tracy, I agree 150%. I don't think the work around sustainability and diversity are mutually exclusive, right? And we often separate them when we want to have a conversation. We talk about diversity initiatives as if it is not a business strategy. And organizations that have mono-led organizations, meaning they are led by a particular group or class or individual across their organizations, tend to lack diversity in their thoughts, in their concepts, in the way that they engage their customers. And ultimately, that impacts their shareholder value, the KPIs they drive, and the impact that they can have in the industry. If businesses are really focused on being top in their business, they have to really focus on their internal diversity and ensuring that diversity is woven into every aspect of the business, from the technology and the platforms that you build to the engagement of the talent to the way that you connect with your customers. There is no way that a mono leadership team will have that experience. They may have industry expertise, but that innate experience to be able to make a difference is missing. So I agree with you 150%. It is not mutually exclusive. It has to be part of your DNA as an organization.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you think about inclusive by design. You know, that speaks largely to the accessibility disability space, but it is true of every aspect of business. And we have to be inclusive by design. It should become second nature to, you know, have these policies in place, the KPIs that you're looking for. But the data is just one part of it. It's the story behind the data and the successes as well as the failures that need to be brought forward and really talked about more frequently to be able to make that pivot, to make it really be embedded.
I think that is very important, and to have a very robust business narrative that the leaders can buy in. But the other important topic is to make the leadership and organization accountable. So to have proper KPIs and measurement on the journey that you are doing and make visible also the difficulties that you can have is really, I think, instrumental to get to the path of journey that you would like to have.
And I think I just want to add to that, Mars, like having these leaders be held accountable, that these are put into a business function and it's not separated, it's not siloed. I think part of it is, you know, taking risks, taking a chance. I often tell people when we're talking about DEI and we're consulting, like, we don't need to boil the ocean. Let's start with a pot of water, right? And build from there. I think sometimes people get these lofty goals and they want to go after them and then nothing gets done, right? But I think if you can just, you know, start with a pot of water instead of trying to boil over the ocean, we'll get a lot further and you'll see a lot more impact.
I love where this conversation is going. And I would love to kind of dive in a little bit further. You've hit on every part of the facet of, it's actually not just about HR. We already went beyond HR in this conversation. So as we dive in, when we think about leaders, one of the biggest challenges for them is how do they see it for themselves, see themselves in DEI, right? And I always tell people, it's not about changing who you are. It's about putting an additional lens on what you see. So question for each one of you. What have you done differently to kind of truly weave into your business for them? I'll start it off with a little bit with my organization. We've already launched it as part of an action plan that helps weave into their every facet of their business type of approach, whether that's communications, whether that is our talent space, whether it is products, whether it is how we show up to our investor relations. We've weaved it in that sense that DEI is in every one of these facets as a lens, not a change of who you are. I'm curious for each one of you. Anyone thoughts?
Well, maybe let me use my lens now of the talent activity that I'm doing. I will start just saying that for the leaders currently, there are new expectations. And there are expectations that actually the leadership attributes and the skills that the leaders bring within the organization are different. And I think that this is one of the first things that the leaders cannot ignore. And our processes in the organization have been moving also in this direction to speak about inclusive leadership.
Inclusive leadership, absolutely. Thoughts?
You know, we just did a pilot with a number of employees from across the globe, as well as one of our board of directors members. And this was when I worked for Atos, which was just 2 weeks ago. And we covered this book that was written by our board of directors member. It's called The Way, and it's about being more mindful, being more present, being more attuned to the needs of others, really getting to know your own goals and objectives as a leader, as a colleague, as just a person. And this really has helped our leaders that were part of this pilot get some clarity that they didn't have before and understand, to Mara's point, how being an inclusive leader is foundational to everything they want to accomplish in roles.
Thank you, Denise. Tracy, I saw you were about to say something on that.
No, I wanted to say also, James, we use action plans. And one of the things that we do to encourage our leaders is that, first of all, the first thing I say constantly, the diversity and inclusion responsibility of the work does not lie within my team of 9 individuals. Each and every person, from the individual contributors to the executive leaders, have a role in diversity and inclusion. And so we create action plans starting with, going back to what Ricky said, the pot of water, right? From low-hanging fruit to longer term, more sustainable strategies. And the first question I ask is, what's important to you as a leader? I'm not prescriptive. I don't define what that should look like. I want to hear from you as a leader, what actions in diversity and inclusion are important to you. If it's women, if it's veterans, if it's hiring more underrepresented minorities, is supporting LGBTQ. I start where you are and we grow the action plan from there. When you, in my mind, in our organization in particular, if I come in and I dictate, no, you need to do this, that, third, after you should look at data. What I find is that we have minds many times closed down. So I need to be inclusive myself and understand where the opportunities are for that leader so that we can build the culture and inclusion. And so, and then I have to constantly engage where Mara talked about the inclusion component of this. That's always, so we can bring all the diversity in, we can build this great diversity organization. But if we have lines of business that's not inclusive, that talent, when they come in, will go right back out the door. So that is threaded into every action plan strategy that we live and breathe. And I took one last point, I'll say, I took it away from my team and I, speaking about diversity and inclusion to actually the leaders speaking about it on your all hands calls, in your customer meetings. I'm providing you talking points. We need you as leaders to speak up, stand out, and position diversity and inclusion within your customers, within your teams, so that we are not the only ones. They expect HR to talk about it. They expect you to bring me in to talk about it with our customers. But when we give you the talking points to be successful, that's, again, is how you start to live and breathe it within your organization on an ongoing basis.
You know, James, I think about the audience that may be listening who are not, you know, purists like we are in the DE&I space, but they may be HR professionals that work in organizations that don't have one of us, right? And so what is the way that they can help embed DE&I into their organizations? And this is one of my coin phrases, leaders support what they help create. And so if you start with engaging your leaders from the beginning and getting them involved in the design of your DE&I efforts, it is much easier to tie it to the metrics, to their performance, and to the goals that they set in their organization. So my piece of advice there would be ensure that your leaders are bought in on the front end. It's your DE&I office's responsibility to help curate the content and the programs and ensure it's being measured back and the impact of those programs are being reported on appropriately. But your leaders have to be in the design or at the design table with you in order for your move, for the work to move forward in the organization.
I cannot agree more. When you have the leaders leading the work, having them at the table, helping with the design, it becomes their own. So that is truly the benefit of this work. Everyone, I want to make sure I respect each of your time. I know some of you have hard stops. So I want to make sure I say first and foremost, thank you for all your inputs and thoughts. My takeaway from this conversation is include your leaders. Help them be the true champions in the space so they can speak to the language of DEI. And of course, when we think about it, it's about building that network, working amongst others. Again, thank you everyone for your ideas, your thoughts, your practice that you're doing live as pioneers in DEI. Again, my pleasure to be your moderator, and thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you. Remember, there is an I in diversity and inclusion.
Absolutely.
Love it. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.